Two brief announcements, first of all.
有两件事情要报告。
I won't be shaking hands after the service because I have a bit of a cold.
在这个崇拜完了以后，我不会在外后面跟你们握手。
And second of all, because my wife is not here, if your child was supposed to play for her today after Sunday school, they'll be playing for me instead.
第二件就是他太太今天不在这里。假如你的小孩子要今天演奏音乐的话，是向 Reverend Watson演奏，不是向 Mrs. Watson演奏。
With that, let's open in a word of prayer.
我们一起祷告。
Father, the things which your word says to us sometimes are not easy to hear.
天父，你所说的话有的时候是不容易听。
And as we come before you this morning looking at one of your churches,
今天早上我们来到了面前，我们研究你的一个教会。
The things that are said here about your church are not pleasant.
在这里所谈到有关那个教会的，不是很舒服的言语。
Indeed, they are hard to hear.
对，实际上是的的确确很难听的。
But Father, we pray that as we look at this subject this morning,
我们祈求在今天我们研究这个题目的时候，
that you would use your Holy Spirit to break through with the light of the gospel.
所以你可以用圣灵把福音的光照在我们当中。
And so, Father, that we would be a unified church around the truth of your word.
这样子的话，我们变成一个在你的话语中合一的教会。
We pray in your Son's precious name.
我们靠你儿子宝贵的名祷告。
Amen.
Amen.
I'd like you to begin this morning by looking at the person both to your left and to your right. And I'd like to have you begin by asking the question, how do you know that the person, that the people who are sitting next to you are actually believers?
你怎么知道坐在你旁边的人他是一个真真正正的信徒？
An even more pertinent question.
可能更切合的一个问题。
Take that exact same question and turn it internally.
你把那个问题问你自己。
How do you know that you are a true believer?
你怎么知道你自己是一个真正的信徒？
And in the passage that we just read,
我们刚刚念过的圣经,
Christ proclaims that you are known by your fruits.
基督说你们靠你们所结的果子。
And he also professes the narrow way.
所以每一个人经过一个很狭窄的路。
Look what he says here in verse 21.
在21节他说的,
Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
不是每一个人都称我主啊主啊的能够进到天国里。
That is to say that not all who proclaim the name of Christ actually possess the name of Christ.
也就是说不是每一个人他口里面称呼主的能够有主的门。
And we thus have two possible dynamics that come out of this.
所以从这里面我们看到有两件事情。
Number one.
第一件。
There are those who are true Christians. They actually possess the gospel.
这个真真正正的信徒，他有在他里面有福音。
Number two.
第二个。
There are those who claim to be real Christians. They profess the gospel.
那些自称为基督徒的，他承认福音。
And with those two possibilities, there are three different kinds of people.
在这种两种可能性之下，有三种不同的人。
The first one is more rare.
这第一种是很少的。
There are those who are real Christians, but who refuse to profess the faith publicly, either through public confession or through baptism.
这有一些真真正正的信徒。
And I'm not as much concerned with that group this morning. The second category. There are those who are true believers who have made a credible profession of faith. And number three, there are those who are not true believers, but who make profession to be a true believer. So the question is, how do you know which of these three categories that you or someone else in the church actually fits into?
So, 问题就是说你怎么能够知道在教会里面哪一个人符合哪一种?
About yourself, it's possible to know both dynamics.
So, 有的时候我们可能了解这两种情形。
The only person in this room who knows if you as an individual are a believer is you and God.
所以在这个房子里面, 能够真正知道你是不是信徒的只有你自己跟神。
But the church
可是教会呢?
Has the ability to look at you and to look at your life and your profession and to see whether or not you have made a credible profession of faith.
可以看看你自己的教会，可以看你的信心跟你自己所宣称的话，你是不是一个信徒。
We can only know if someone professes to believe the gospel. And so we cannot use these dynamics to point out a person in a church and say, I don't think he's a true believer. We can only judge whether they profess to be a true believer. But as individuals, we need to examine and to be concerned with ourselves. And so I invite you to turn to Revelation chapter 3.
So 我现在请你们打开到
And we reach the end of the seven churches. We've looked previously at the church of Ephesus, which was a church that forsook its love for our Lord Jesus for a love of other things. We've looked at the church of Smyrna, the persecuted church. We've seen the church of Pergamum and Thyatira. And these are churches that were tolerant to false teaching to the point of their own destruction. We looked at the church of Sardis, which was a church by all visibility had great reputation. And our Lord Jesus looks at this church and says that you are dead. We've seen the church of Philadelphia, where they were living rightly and they were persevering in their faith before God. And so Christ encourages this church to keep on the right path. We come to the church finally of Laodicea. And about this church of Laodicea, nothing pleasant at all is said. There is no commendation for this church. And it seems to me that for this church, there ends up being almost in the end no hope for it. The only thing about this church that there's hope for it is there's hope that they will actually become what they are supposed to be in Christ. This is a self-deceived church. And I'm actually going to end up arguing that there are few, if any, people in this church who are actually believers. Now, remember who's speaking here. This is not simply the Apostle John giving his opinion on these seven churches. This is the Apostle John who's recording the direct words of Jesus Christ concerning this church. The second person of the one and true living Godhead. The one who gave his life for the church. And who, as God, knows and sees and tests and tries the hearts of men. He stands and he gives his verdict concerning this church. And so his warning is to be taken seriously. This morning I'm going to ask that you look deep in your own heart. And ask God to reveal to you if what is true about the church of Laodicea. Of whether it's true about you and your own individual heart as well. So we begin with the description of Christ in verse 14. Let me read verses 14 to 22 to you.
Pastor will read from 14 to verse 14 to 22.
And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and is set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The description of Christ in verse 14. It says, these things saith the Amen. This is a Hebrew term that's carried over into the Greek. And it's one of the few words that is carried over into most of the Christian vocabulary of the entire world. In English, when we end a prayer, we say Amen. I've heard when people pray in Chinese, they end with the word Amen. In almost any other language of the world where Christianity has permeated, they end their prayers with the word Amen. The Hebrew term means let it be so. And so it expresses certainty and truthfulness. And so by Christ calling himself the Amen, he is saying that he is the certain and the true one. He is declaring himself to be the sovereign, true, living God of the universe who can make things be so. And so any warning he gives ought to be heeded with the utmost seriousness. He is the faithful and true witness. And here I would say that Christ is the one who is witnessing the Father. You remember what John says in John 1:18? That Christ is the one who declared the Father. No man has seen God at any time. But the Son is the witness to the Father. And so what Christ said about God, and here what Christ says about his church, is to be listened to and obeyed with utmost seriousness. It then says the beginning of the creation of God. Now, when we think of the term beginning, we normally think of it in a chronological sense, in terms of time. That's not the case with this word here. Christ is not the beginning of creation in the sense that he's the first created being. To declare that would actually be an ancient heresy called Arianism. Christ is the beginning in the sense that he is the one who is over and the ruler of all things. He is first in the sense that he is the first ruler. He's the most important one. He's the one whose word is to be carried out. Christ is also the beginning of the church. He's the ruler and the leader of the church itself. Verse 15 through 17 is the condemnation of the church. Before we get into this, there's a few things we need to realize about the city of Laodicea. First of all, Laodicea was known for its shepherding. And thus it's known for its wool clothing.
所以因为他们牧羊的关系，所以有很多这个纺织品。
They were known within the ancient world as being a center for textile manufacturing.
所以在古代的时候是出名的纺织业的地方。
They were also known for its apothecary.
他们也为了他们的这个炼金子出名。
They were an ancient pharmacy that would create various salves and powders used in the treatment of various diseases.
他们那个地方也是出名的出产眼药，能够治眼疾的。
And because of these first two items,
因为这两件东西,
they were an extremely wealthy city.
所以他们让他们这个地方很有钱。
The common citizen was rich.
所以他们一般的市民都很有钱, 财富。
The city was severely damaged in an earthquake in AD 60.
在一八六, what year was that?
AD 60.
The
Roman Empire was going to help to fund
AD 60, 就是公元后60年的时候有个地震。
The Roman Empire was going to fund the rebuilding of the city.
那个时候罗马帝国要重建这个城。
And the people of the city refused to take the Roman money because they could fund it themselves.
因为他们那时候不愿意把这个钱捐出来。
They were extremely wealthy.
因为他们很有钱。
They were also watered by two wells.
他们那边有两个很好的井。
They had two sources of water.
他们有两种不同来源的水。
The problem was they were all further than 5 miles away.
可他们都是在五距离有五里以外。
And so it had two springs, one 6 miles to the south from the city of Hierapolis.
所以他们有一个在那 Hierapolis 那个城的一个井。
It was extremely hot water. They were hot springs.
所以那个地方的水是热的温泉。
Very, very cold water was piped into the city of Colossae.
然后从另外 Colossae 这个城市来的水是冷的。
But what's the difficulty?
不困难在哪里?
When you have that much water,
当你有那么多水的时候,
hot water coming from the south,
热水从南边来,
colder water coming from the north and east,
冷水从北边来,
what's going to happen after 5 or 6 miles of this water traveling?
经过五里六里的流动, 这个话, 水会变成什么样子?
Is the hot water from the hot springs going to arrive hot?
那么从热泉出来的水是不是热的?
No.
那不会的。
Is the cold water going to arrive cold?
冷水来到这里是不是变成冷的?
No.
也不是。
At best, what's going to happen is you're going to get tepid, warm water.
所以最好能得到的就是不冷不热的水。
Now, I don't know about you.
我不知道你的状况。
When I take a shower or a bath,
假如我洗澡的时候，
I like taking it in really hot water.
我喜欢洗一个很热水的澡。
It feels really good.
觉得很舒服。
When I drink tea,
当我喝茶,
I like drinking it with hot water.
我希望喝的是用热水喝。
How many of you like tea, drinking tea after it's been sitting around for 2 or 3 hours?
你们喜哪个人喜欢一个在那边已经冷了好几个小时的茶?
It's kind of tepid and tasteless, isn't it?
所以好像没什么味道。
On a hot day,
在一个热的天,
let's say it's 95 degrees outside.
比方说在外面有95度,
and it's really, really humid like it gets here in Minnesota summers.
就像明尼苏达的热夏天又热又闷。
Would you rather drink a water bottle that's been sitting around for 3 or 4 hours?
愿意被喝一瓶水已经在那边停了有好几个小时了。
Or would you rather have one that you pull straight from the refrigerator?
或者你是希望直接从冰箱里面拿点水来喝。
And it's cold, it's soothing, it's refreshing water.
所以那个水是冷的，是很舒服的。
I prefer the cold, soothing water.
我喜欢喝冷的，舒服的水。
And so beginning with this condemnation of the church,
所以跟对这个教会的指责开始。
Christ takes something within the city as common as water.
所以这教会里面就好像那边的水一样。
And everyone understands the picture that he's painting. The water, when it gets to the city, it's tepid, it's tasteless, and the aqueducts are essentially useless.
所以当那个水流到这个城的时候, 已经没有味道了, 已经没有用。
It's not cold, so it's not nice really to drink.
不是冷的, 不好喝。
It's not hot, and so it's not really nice to bathe in.
所以也不是很热, 也不能够用来洗澡。
And Christ looks at the church and he says, I know thy works that thou art neither cold nor hot.
所以耶稣说, 我知道你们的工作, 既不冷也不热。
Cold and hot are preferable with water.
这个对于水来说, 我们希望水既, 一直是冷的,
but the church is lukewarm. And the church of Colossae is useless and tepid, and thus it is to be spat out of his mouth.
所以像这样子的水, 就像这样子的教会, 要从基督的嘴里面吐出去。
And so by this picture, I would make the argument that Christ is saying that most, if not all, of the people in the church of Colossae are unbelievers.
所以靠着这一句话, 我相信基督是说在这个教会里的人,
that is the church of Laodicea. Let's follow on with his metaphor, verse
17.
And the church says, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing.
这教会说我是富足的, 已经发了财, 什么都不缺。
In our church,
在我们教会,
there's no problem with persecution.
在我们教会里面没有受逼迫,
we have a beautiful building.
我们有很漂亮的建筑物,
we pay our pastor a wonderful salary.
我们给我们的牧师有很好的薪水,
we're rich.
我们很有钱,
we're doing fine.
我们一切都好,
we have nice social activities in our church.
我们教会里面的,
we do good things to help the community of Laodicea. So we must be a church that's just doing all right. We don't need anything. Who matters, who cares really about how we live our lives? In this church that looks absolutely perfect on the outside, Christ strips off the veneer. And look at the words he uses in verse 17. And you do not even know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This is a church that does not know Jesus Christ. Although they are rich, wealthy, and affluent, they have nothing. Although they are known for their salves, for their medicines, many of which we're supposed to heal eye infirmities, they are, in fact, blind.
他们自己呢, 可是是瞎眼。
And although they are known for their fine wool clothing,
虽然他们以他们的有出名的有毛衣之类的,
they are, in fact, naked.
但是他们的确是赤身的。
Look over at Revelation chapter 2.
我们回到第二章, 启示录的第二章。
Oh, Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Remember some of the things that the overcomer are given. In Revelation 3 verse 5, one of the things the overcomer is given is a white garment. In Revelation chapter 3 verse 17, Christ proclaims that this church has no white garments.
在3章17节, 基督说, 这个教会没有白的衣服。
They are blind.
他们是瞎眼的。
Look back at John chapter 9.
回到约翰福音第九章。
You remember the event that happens in John 9.
你记不记得约翰福音第九章所记载的？
Where blindness and salvation are intricately intertwined.
那就是讲到瞎眼跟拯救是紧紧地连接在一起的。
And in John 9, you have a man who was born blind.
在约翰福音九章的里面有一个是生下来就瞎眼的人。
And so Jesus sees this man, and the disciples ask him the question, whose fault is it? Who sinned, this man or his parents?
那文徒就问说，这个人的瞎眼是谁的过呢？是他父母的过错吗？
And Jesus said, it's for the purpose of the glory of God that he was born blind. I am light.
所以耶稣的回答说，他生下的瞎眼是为了要荣耀神，因为我就是光。
And so Jesus heals the man.
所以基督治好了这个人。
And so, beginning in verse 10, people begin to ask the man, how were his eyes opened? And he says, a man named Jesus.
第十节,他们问他说,你的眼睛怎么开的呢? 那个人回答说,有一个人名叫耶稣。
And so then he goes before the Pharisees.
然后他回到法利赛人那边。
And before the Pharisees, the man proclaims in verse 17 that Jesus was a prophet.
所以在法利赛人面前,在第17节里面, 这个人宣称说耶稣是个先知。
And they go through this massive debate with this man over the nature of sin and over the nature of Jesus.
所以他们跟这个人有一个很长的一个辩论有关
And so in verse 25, the man says, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, that whereas was I was blind, now I see.
所以25节这个瞎眼的人说,他是个罪人,不是我不知道。有一件事我知道,从前我是瞎眼的,如今能看见了。
And in verse 32, it says, since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing.
所以在13、12节跟33节这里说,从创世以来,未曾听见有人把生来是瞎子的眼睛开了。这人若不是从神来的,什么也不能做。
And so, in verse 11, there's a progression. He begins by calling Jesus a man.
所以从这个11节有一个进行,开始称耶稣是人。
In verse 17, he calls him a prophet.
在17节称他为先知。
In verse 33, he calls him of God.
所以在33节称他为神。
And so in verse 35, Jesus confronts him and says, do you believe in the Son of God?
所以在35节,耶稣问他说,你相信吗?你知道你相信神的儿子吗?
And in verse 38, he says, Lord, I believe.
所以38节他说,主啊,我信。
And so in verse 40 and 41, there's a conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees of who really was blind.
所以在这个40跟41节,耶稣跟法利赛人的辩论,
Was the blind man who recognized his sin blind?
那个瞎眼的人,他知道他的罪吗?
Or were the Pharisees who could not recognize their own sinfulness blind?
或者是这个法利赛人,他不知道他们自己的罪,那么他们是瞎眼的吗?
And Jesus says, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remains.
对,耶稣对他们说,你们若瞎了眼,就没有罪了。但如今,你们说,我们能看见。Indeed,
it was the Pharisees who were blind.
所以的确的,这些法利赛人是瞎眼。
This was a church that was blind. This was a church that was unclothed. This was a church that before God was absolutely impoverished. And so thus I would argue that this is a church that in a large part is an unbelieving church. So beginning in Revelation 3 verse 18, Christ uses these three pictures as a metaphor for conversion. And he uses the metaphor, buy gold tried in fire that you might be rich. Buy white raiment that you might be clothed. And remember, white raiment is one of the rewards for being an overcoming believer. And he says, anoint thy eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. The next verse I find, verse 19, extremely amazing. This is a largely unregenerate church. A church that while proclaiming the name of Christ has rejected Christ. And so Christ is giving them another chance. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to changed direction. And Christ still loves His church. And so the solution is in verse 20, what I will call acceptance of the gospel. If the problem, ultimately speaking, is the church's rejection of the gospel, that there are those within the church who profess the name of Christ but yet who do not believe, then the solution is the gospel itself. The problem is we don't think we are that bad. We don't see ourselves as sinners who have rejected the living God. Religion has become an acceptable thing. And we do not see ourselves as having offended God. Have you ever gotten angry at someone and yelled at them? Exploded in a loss of temper? You've sinned. You've offended God. You ever told a lie? Even just a small lie? You've sinned. You've offended God. You've ever held a seething anger inside of yourself and even thought in your own heart, I wish they would just die? You've sinned and you've offended a holy God. So what is the solution? The solution is the one who loves his church, came and he died for his church. He died the most horrible death imaginable in order to pay and satisfy the wrath of God against your sin. And he rose from the dead, eternally declaring himself to be who he claimed to be. How do you know that that price for your sin was paid? Because he rose from the dead. And so here, he says in verse 20, he's standing at the door and knocking. He is not within this church. He is not in the church of Laodicea, and he's asking to be let in. He's saying, this church which is supposed to be my body, I'm not even there. And he's saying, repent, turn from your sin, believe in me, I'm here. And I love you. Come to me and believe and find life and find peace and find happiness and find joy. There may be some in here who are like that. You may be a member of this church. You may have been a member of this church from the first day. You may have professed to be a Christian for 30 or 40 or 50 years. And yet in your profession, you have never submitted yourself to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have never stopped trying to save yourself and to be good enough yourself. You have never truly intellectually assented to the deity of Jesus Christ. You may not have accepted that some of the things that he did were real. Maybe you think in your mind he really didn't rise from the dead. Or worse yet, you believe that those things have happened and you've deceived yourself into thinking that you are okay and that yes, you've accepted Christ. And yet, deep in your heart of hearts, you still live like the devil. Don't be like the church in Laodicea. Don't be like those who have claimed to know Christ and yet who have walked away knowing nothing. If you're here this morning and you've never come to a point in time in your life where you've realized that you were a sinner, and that Christ is the ultimate paid the price for your sin, and that you can find your satisfaction in Him, and that you can't do it yourself. You cannot please God on your own. You need to become a believer. You need to put your faith in Christ. You need to stop trying to do it yourself. He's standing there waiting for you to accept. He's standing there with arms open of love. And it may be the case that you've been resisting for years. If this is this descriptive of you, you know it. And you may have deceived yourself into thinking that you're okay. Stop. Ask God to come and forgive you of your sins. And place your trust in Christ and Christ alone for salvation. The rewards are Christ Himself. Where Jesus becomes your joy and your satisfaction. We see in verse 21 the description of the overcomer.
It
says, to him that overcometh I will grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. The rewards for the believer throughout the seven churches of Revelation they truly are magnificent. I mean, ruling and reigning with Christ Himself. But you know what's even better than that reward? Simply standing in the presence of Jesus. Finding the one who is all love. And standing there before him. And simply being able to be with him. The one and true living God who came and gave himself for you because of his love. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your Son. And although it's hard to hear that there are churches that do not know your Son, your Son still has the patience and the love to stand there and to wait. Father, I pray that if there is anyone here, who does not know you as their Lord and Savior, whether they be church leadership, whether they be a church member, whether they be a visitor, or whether they be one of the young children here, I pray, Father, that you would work and that you would draw them towards your Son. And that you would work a work of irresistible grace in their hearts. That they would be drawn to you, accept your Son and believe. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen.
Amen.